Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Here I am in Lindfield, West Sussex. So although we're not too far from London, it does feel like deep England, a village based around a pond where the ducks would be, people would go fishing, and of course a source of water before people had running water, carry buckets home for washing, cooking and such like. And then you can see a village green beyond with the chaps in their cricket whites, and over there King Edward Hall, a village hall for like dances, concerts, little talks and things like that, as in named after Edward VII, built in his time. So this goes back to Anglo-Saxon times, when an Anglo-Saxon king, I forget whom, gave permission for them to build a church here. Lindfield in Anglo-Saxon, meaning a place under open land, as in not forest, with limes. That's what the Lind is, as in German, Lind. Unter den Linden in Berlin, under the limes. And there, how they won best village in all Sussex, both East Sussex and West Sussex. This was the best a few times. Okay, so you'll see how in places it looks picture perfect. It's not Cotswolds, but I mean, some of these late 19th century, early 20th century houses. A few steps up to the door. Why? In case there's flooding from the pond. Doesn't happen anymore, but used to. So we're only about a mile from Haywards Heath. So very upper middle class village of not even 3,000 people. And look at that, a tidy town, very well kept garden. And you'll see some timber framed houses. So I think there's not one ugly building in the place. They might be plain, but they're not unbeautiful. There we go. So yeah, look at that. So some sense of community, very low rise at least. And there are no derelict buildings. Okay, people into well-being, they're prosperous enough to be able to indulge themselves in these first world worries. Okay, Co-op, not the most expensive brand of supermarket. Those workers in Rochdale in the 1860s founded it, as in the workers were all owners. They are shareholders, they got a dividend as well as their salary. So the cooperative principle spread around. Remember, it spread to Russia. And I remember seeing a plaque on the street in Russia and saying, we got this idea of cooperatives from Rochdale. Anyway, so cross over, if I'm not going to get run over. And they're considerate motorists. Okay. Anyway, and look over there, a place of worship, one of the non-conformist churches, I forget. There's an Anglican church going as well. So lots of little boutique businesses that stand up in. So they've got a few thriving pubs. If pubs are going bust at a terrifying rate, there's one called The Witch. By the way, it's said to be a very haunted village. Watch out for a lot of spirit manifestations. We're not too far from where Percy Bysshe Shelley used to come, and he was fascinated by ghost stories. Anyway, in the 14th century, a charter was granted, as it conferred rights to the village to hold a weekly market. Look at this, with their double chimneys and the red tiles, even on the front of the building. So even the brick buildings are visually attractive. What do you think? A little bit stylish. So it's seldom bland. What I like is that the buildings are almost all individual. They're not sort of huge estates all built at the same time, to the same design. And look at this pepperbox interiors. People who can choose to spoil themselves with these antiques. Very alluring, think you not? Anyway, and over here, the toll house. Look at that. It's not quite Tudor, I don't think. It's got wooden slats up at the top. I did say slats, not something else. I might go closer and take a look. Now, let's see if I'm not being run over. It's a fairly busy road there. I'm glad I got the high vis on. Okay. So they're able to hold an annual fair as well. So there used to be a toll, and until 1884 they had to pay to bring their horse-drawn carriages or whatever, their wagons taking goods to market, to go beyond here. It's been removed, and this is still called Toll House because of it. And then, yeah, you can see some of these buildings here. So all very fine looking. Anyway, it's the kind of thing that tourists might go wild for, even though the landscape's undramatic. You see that house there? with little windows up there, like the Dovecots. And there's famously Voigt's, which is the violin maker, been in the same family for seven generations. And look, Red Lion, very, very typical name for a pub because red lions were so common in heraldry. So that's two pubs already. And there's the Witches, there's at least one more to go. Okay, and look, Bella June, a florist is able to have a thriving business in such a small place as this. They've obviously got a bit of money to burn. Okay, this is like stockbroker belt. And here they even get three stories high, some of these buildings. So yeah, I mean, the cars, well, they're quite fine cars, not super expensive, but I see characterful little different ones. A bridal shop. Well, you know, marriage is something very, very special, because marriage is something that you only do a few times in your life. Okay, and here's another, is it more like a wine bar in there? Okay, so you can see they're not short of a few bob, these people. And then, look, the estate agent. Well, I'm scared to see how much the houses would cost. And then if I come over here, look at this car. I don't know much about cars, but look at the massive window at the back. Why have massive window? What sort of make of motor is this? Motor. And the front bit, the engine is huge and long. It's only got two seats. That's very different. TVR England. I've never seen one of those. Anyway. And then the post office shop. Okay. Functioning as Morrison's. So maybe you get the idea. So we're near the South Downs, that range of hills, south of London and north of Brighton. Well, Brighton's right on the sea. And then you see Alma Road over there. It's in the Battle of the Alma, 1854, fought in the Crimean Peninsula. The Russian Empire broke the Treaty of Unkiya-Skelessi, setting up naval bases there on the Black Sea. Russia breaking treaties? Well, nothing's changed, really. The Manor House. Okay, so the Lord of the Manor, the local low-level aristocrat. And by the way, he didn't get the title Lord, despite saying Lord of the Manor. And so we go on, okay? So these tiny gardens, people are very, very proud of having that, you know, however small it is. And then look at these very big gates here for your horse-drawn carriage and horses to go in. Now, maybe not go all the way up to the witch, but you get the idea. So some sense of community, everybody we know, everybody really. But there's not that much privacy. I can't remember who wrote that book with the title something like Valley of the Twitching Curtains, but methinks it was set in Hibernia. Okay, so all the gardens are well turned out, I notice. There's so many derelict buildings and dilapidated things in other portions of the British Isles. And the Well House, and yes, indeed, they really do have a source of water there. And how about this for a Tudor building? And that is no mock Tudor building. You see slight subsidence, only a little bit misshapen. Just enough to add character to it. And then there's a huge house on this side here. I mean, huge by British standards, that is. Morling Priory, that's why. 1730. Because there were monks there, not in this building. The priory was closed down almost 200 years before that was built on the same site, okay? And then these very wealthy people can afford to have all this stuff for their houses? How about that? Okay. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you're getting an idea of what it's like. Truffle House. It's a little bit colourful, but it's not so much as to overload you or be garish. Anyway, remarkable, don't you think? But yet it's got that British understatement. I'll show you more about what I'm talking about. Mustn't walk onto their property. But very generously proportioned, this one here. It's like a thinking man's version of, where is it? Walton on Thames. But, you know, classier and more communal, not big houses set back from the very broad road. And wow, I can't believe it. A phone box with a phone in it. Because mostly because all got mobiles and they were removed 20 years ago. That's amore, as an ice cream parlor. So that's love, it means. Then we've got a pub here. Look at the sign, The Bent Arms, Hall and Woodhouse, the brewery. So it's tied to a brewery. They can only sell spirituous liquor and non-intoxicating drinks from there, and there's a hotel attached to it as well. Okay, I do like the hanging baskets. Well, the health and safety people wouldn't like that. That's a danger to life and limb. And there we go. Okay, so this has been going since the 19th century. So not as old as much of the rest of it. There we go. So your horse-drawn coaches and your horses can be kept there. And then over on the other side, the Viking house. I don't know why it's a Viking house. Obviously the Danes were all over the place. And they just make it up. It surely doesn't date back to Viking times. So you almost nothing there. Obviously from about 870 AD till, well, even 1070, the Danes, the Norwegians were attacking. And another fine looking house with ivy clinging to it. I'll cross over, so give you a bit of a perspective. And you've got some sort of idea how big it is now. Anyway, I'm so enthused, so do forgive my curious compulsions in showing these towns, which perhaps you think are very, very bland indeed. Froyles, F-R-O-Y-L-S. I've never seen a name like that. So this is the effect that caffeine can have on people, making them hypomanic. And look at that one. Looks Tudor at the end. It's enormous. It's like a slightly hillier version of Datchet, but obviously not by a river. Pierpoint House, not Albert, methinks. I've never seen it spelt like that. The surname Pierpoint usually is spelt Pierrepoint, as in Albert Pierpoint, the United Kingdom's almost last fully licensed public executioner. And so we go on. All right, there's almost what I want to show you. And how about this? Not as old as it looks, apparently. Very well appointed and very roomy. A slight curve to the street. Coming up to Tallow Cottage, as in candles made from animal fat, but gives off a certain disagreeable odour. So chandlers didn't always work with wax. And look, the Tiger All Saints Church. There we go. Bower House. Bower meaning tree house. And then up there, the vicarage, where the local clergyman lives, or indeed clergywoman, because it's an Anglican one. Now, as a papist myself, I wonder if there's a Roman Catholic chapel within an easy walk. I will confess not to being the most regular communicant. So then if I go on. Okay, here we are. The Tiger Lounge, which is basically like a church hall for them, for communal events and are having tea and coffee after their Sunday observances. And look at this graveyard with the with headstones leaning over, gnarled by the vagaries of time. And here, these metal contraptions affixed to the ground to remove your muddy riding boots. And in we go. All Saints is the church. It's the Lord's Day, but you know, it's well after morning worship and not yet time for evensong. So we're between matins and evensong and there's no choir practice going on. It's a very open plan. That's the modern way they do it in the Church of England. And then memorial plaques to young men. This guy, age 25, who most nobly laid down his life in the First World War. And then recovering this temporary wooden cross from France before the headstones were built, all uniform. There was a democracy of death who's decided they would not be repatriated from the First World War. They'll be buried where they fell. And whatever their rank, whatever their social position, however their wealth, have uniform headstones with name and so forth, and their regiment. And then facing east towards Jerusalem, you see the altar and the image of Jesus Christ set through, well, with his orb, the Blessed Virgin, with the infant, and various of the saints, way up high, the Lamb of God, okay, the sacrificial lamb. Then look at the hammer beam roof, and up my nostrils. And many, many, many more such plaques. Do you see? Some of these plaques are meant to look a little bit like ancient tombs. We don't see the draped urns, which you usually see. Stained glass windows
And these are regimental memorial flags for the Royal British Legion. Unfortunately, these days, the United Kingdom doesn't fight abroad very much. So not many guys get killed. But I mean, you know, there used to be very few places didn't have some people who were killed in the First World War, Second World War. There were a few thankful villagers who were grateful to the Lord for having spared their men. Nobody got killed in the First World War, Second World War. And you see a Palestinian, Saint George, adopted by Richard the Lionheart, who wasn't really English, didn't even like England. And then the English took him to their heart. Perhaps puzzling, but many people are so ignorant they wouldn't realise that. Not Anglophobic, but that's the fact. And then look at that. Look at that for a ceiling. They don't make it like that anymore. So here we are on the nave, the main part of the church. Okay. And then here is, show you the west door. That's the west door, is the main door. And then walk up the aisle. You see? So you get an idea of what it's like. It's very, very well preserved. It must cost an awful lot of money to keep going. There hardly anybody goes to church these days. And obviously this was the centre of the community for a very long time. And this 1893 stained glass window, trying to make it look a bit medieval. In the 19th century, a craze for all things medieval, the pre-Raphaelite Brotherhood and all that. A reaction against the Industrial Revolution and manufacturing. Okay, well that's all. I hope you enjoyed your whistle stop tour of Lindfield. And look at this old wooden screen, obviously it doesn't go all the way down, which is redolent of the rood screens, R-O-O-D, rood screens, which were removed and destroyed in the Reformation, the 1530s. Obviously the Catholic Church, we kept them much later. Right, so thank you for watching my video. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate to PayPal, georgecallan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.